word this morning. We thank you that your word is eternal. It's life-changing, powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. Pierces even a dividing asunder, soul and spirit. We thank you that the word of God will be revolutionary today, will be transforming today. We thank you, Father God. We exercise our faith for divinely granted utterance so that each and every one will have full, clear hearing, full, clear seeing, and wonderful opportunities to understand in our heart and mind the things that you're saying through your word. Thank you, Father God, for the anointing of the Holy Spirit that will transform our lives for the better forever. In Jesus' name, and you get all the glory, all the honor, all the credit, all the praise, Lord, belongs to you, and we magnify your holy name. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen, amen. Turn with me in your Bibles to Romans chapter 3, Romans the third chapter. Romans the third chapter. We're continuing this focus as we head toward Resurrection Sunday, next Sunday, and talking about the importance of what Jesus accomplished through his finished works, starting at the cross. Now, the cross is where he was crucified. And this Palm Sunday represents Jesus traveling to Jerusalem to give his life for us, to give his life as ransom, to be the eternal sacrifice, the Lamb of God who would take away the sins of the world. And part of the big component of that was him shedding his blood. If you study the scriptures, Jesus shed his blood 7 times, including while he was hung on the cross. And those were not random or haphazardly done. It was intentional to bring us the benefit of his bleeding. To give us the benefit of his bleeding. And so the backdrop or the underscore of our subject is faith in the blood of Jesus. Now we have to ascertain, where are we at? Have we lost faith in the blood? Because too often we look at the cross and look at it as a historical event, but we don't see it as a present day help. The cross is a present day help. The cross gives us a future hope. The cross brings us healing for things that have been broken and wounded and diseased in our lives. The defective situations can be healed by the cross. Amen. There's power in the cross. And so we talked about last week redemption, but today we're going to talk about reconciliation. And by the grace of God and the anointing of the Holy Spirit and the direction of the Lord, we're going to unlock some keys in our faith in the blood about reconciliation. It's a long term that a lot of people don't realize, but it's what happened during Jesus's and when he was shedding his blood on his way to Calvary and through his death. Now let's look at this. Romans chapter 3, verse 21 through 25. It says, but now the righteousness of God apart from the law is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, through faith in Jesus Christ. Underline, circle that phrase. Through faith in Jesus. Who's it applied to? Look at this. Next words. To all and on all who believe. To all and on all who believe. For there is no difference. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God set forth as a propitiation by his blood through faith. King James says faith, through faith in his blood. Propitiation, faith in his blood. Propitiation by his blood, or this word means reconciliation by his blood. This is a fancy term that just means regular. To demonstrate his righteousness because of his forbearance, God passed over the sins that were previously committed. Verse 26, to just demonstrate at the present time his righteousness that he might be the just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. Faith in Jesus. Now, most people have general faith. I like the illustration Pastor used this week. He said that, you know, most of us have faith, but demonstrated faith already this morning because you're sitting in that chair. And you wouldn't have faith if you didn't believe, come on now, that chair could hold you. You would be standing still. Those of you that are home, online, on the couch, or in the kitchen, or maybe laying in the bed, you have faith in that bed. You didn't fall through that bed. You didn't fall through that chair. Amen. You didn't fall through the couch. The couch didn't break down when you sat on it. Hopefully it didn't, but it didn't break down. You have faith. But today we're talking about faith in the blood. Amen. Look at verse 25 in the New Living Translation. For God presented Jesus as the sacrifice for sin. Now you think about it, when he was getting ready to pay for our sins, God took out, you know, the sin price. Let's just compare in comparison. Just think of it, this illustration. So the bill, let's just say it was $1 million. $1 million. That was the cost. Let's say that was a price tag for all of our sins combined. It just uses this as an analogy or illustration. So God took out $1 trillion to pay for our sins. Why? Because this was eternal. This is for all time and eternity. All of our past, present, and future sins. God said, this is the price. This is what's due. He took Christ and said, I got $1 trillion. Somebody say glory to God. So he presented Christ as a sacrifice for sin. People are made right with God when they believe that Jesus Christ sacrificed his life. When they believe that he died for our sins. Come on now. When they believe that he shed the shedding of his blood. Hallelujah. You're getting this picture now. This sacrifice shows that God was being fair when he held back and did not punish those who sinned in times past. Like we said, he took that $1 trillion and said, time past, present, and time eternity. Our sins have been paid. Hallelujah. Somebody say glory to God. Come on. That's a place to rejoice and receive, hallelujah, the redeeming work and the forgiveness work of Jesus. Hallelujah. Colossians tells us this way, Colossians 1:30, but of him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. So what God did in Christ, he wanted to do for you. God did in Christ what he wanted to do for you and every person. Then he put you and me in Christ. When we receive Jesus Christ as our Lord and personal Savior, we become in Christed. We become engrafted into Christ. So what he did, he gets the glory, but we get the credit. As though we did it. As though we paid for our sins. But it was him who did it. Amen. You've been redeemed by the blood of Christ. Bought back into relationship and fellowship with God. Forgiven and freed from sin. Fellowship, forgiveness, and freedom. Three powerful components and benefits of our redemption. So our faith is in his finished works, the accomplished facts that were done through his death, burial, and resurrection. Our faith focuses on first where he finished and what he's already done. Simply put, faith in the blood of Jesus. We often sing that song, or may have known the song, "What Can Wash Away My Sin?" Nothing, what? What can make me, what? Whole again, nothing but blood of Jesus. Now, I want you to think about that as we go forth, because that song is so powerful and pertinent for us today. Because many of us see sin problems. You know, we even when they talked about the social justice and social issues, and they said, you know, the pigmentation of your skin was a great divide and a divisive force in this nation. But that's not a skin problem. That's a sin problem. Racism is a sin. Discrimination is a sin. Being prejudiced is a sin. Amen. Maybe perhaps you see sin problems in your sphere of influence, maybe in your family, maybe in your, maybe amongst your relatives, maybe on your job. What can wash away, come on now, my sin? What? Come on, y'all. Come on, church. Nothing but the what? So why are we trying to fix sin? Why are we trying to fix sin? What can wash away our sins? Nothing but the what? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Why are we trying to preach sin and point out sin? Jesus fixed the sin problem. So we're no, God no longer sees us, what? As a sinner. You dishonor God and dishonor the blood when you call yourself a sinner, when you're a saint, when you've been saved and redeemed by the blood of Jesus. Why call yourself a sinner? You're no longer a sinner. You're no longer a beggar. You're no longer an outcast. Come on now. But God sees you through the blood. He sees you through the cross. He sees you through the resurrection. He sees you raised up, seated next to heaven in Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. The blood did it. The blood of Jesus did it. When Kenneth E. Hagin was visiting the Lord, and the Lord wanted to talk to him, Brother Hagin, you know, because many people have a sin consciousness. And he got down on his face and knees, and he put his face at Jesus' feet and says, "Lord, I'm so unworthy to look upon your face. Someone as wretched and unworthy as I am is not worthy to look upon your face." And he's standing before the head of the church, the one with nail prints in his hands and a pierce in his side, the one who shed his blood. And he's standing right before Kenneth E. Hagin, and he yells at him. He says, "Stand up. Stand on your feet." He said, "I made you worthy. My blood made you worthy." And the blood still makes us worthy to be right, in right standing with God today. Hallelujah. Somebody say, glory to God. Faith, as we said last week, begins with knowledge. Knowledge about God, knowledge his word, and his will for our lives. One of the things that our faith needs to grow in and glean from every single day is faith in the blood. What the blood has done, what the blood will do and can do in our lives. And I'm telling you this in your relationships, in your family. Because we're talking about reconcile today. His will for your life, one of his big wills, is that you have, listen to me, family peace. His will for your life is to have heavenly relationships in your home. His will for your life is to have peace with God and with other people. Hallelujah. See, where knowledge stops, faith stops. If we don't know it, we always going to operate in and out of strife, in and out of selfish ambitions, where we're struggling with and power playing with one another. We're going to operate in and out of division and getting offended because somebody at the house said something to you that got you all twisted up. See, where knowledge stops, faith stops. Why? Because faith is based on knowledge. Revealed knowledge, though. Faith begins where the will of God is known. Not just information, but revelation. So I pray the Holy Spirit download you divine illumination and revelation so you can see there's power in the blood. The blood still works today. Amen. Another way to say it is faith begins where the will of God or the word of God is known. Now, how did we get redeemed? Now, we said this last week. Just a brief review. Ephesians 1:7, in him we have redemption through his blood. How do you get redemption? Through his blood. How did we get redeemed? Through his blood. And the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. New Living Translation, so he is so rich in kindness and grace that he purchased our freedom with the blood of his son and forgave us our sins. Amplified says, in him we have redemption, deliverance, and salvation. Everybody say, I have redemption. Everybody say, I have deliverance. I have salvation. So you're not talking about trying to get to heaven or trying to be saved. You are saved. You are redeemed. Everybody say, I am redeemed. The Bible even says it in Psalms 107, verse 20. Psalm 107, verse 2. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. So if you're not saying, I am redeemed from the hand of the enemy. So when the enemy starts operating through your family, through your kids, through your finances, come on now, you say, I am redeemed from the enemy's control. This house is redeemed by the blood of Jesus. There's a bloodline around this house. That means, Satan, you can't come in this house. You have to keep out. This means you, your demon, evil spirits, and all your cohorts, because we're covered by the blood. Hallelujah. You have to activate your redemption and your redemptive rights and privileges. You sit here, got a card that says redeemed from the curse of the law. You got a card that says redeemed from the hand of the enemy. You got a card that says redeemed, your life is redeemed from destruction. Don't let destruction come in because you got a redemption card. It's bought and paid for by the blood of Jesus. Since we are joined to Christ, we have been given the treasure of redemption by his blood. Passion Translation. The total cancellation. I like how it says it. The total cancellation of our sins. So the devil always comes to condemn you about your sins. You weren't a good enough mom. You didn't pray enough for them when you were young. You didn't teach them the right things. And some of y'all are being tormented by those thoughts right now. Are you listening to me? What happened to them? See, the devil will always mess with you about what you did last year, 10 years ago. Remember when you cussed your child out? You're not worthy. But the blood of Jesus is canceled. Totally canceled our sins. All because of the cascading riches of his grace. Somebody say glory to God. Colossians 1:14 says, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. So what is redemption? It is what our Lord Jesus Christ was doing when he died on the cross. shed his precious blood, and was raised from the dead by God his Father, and carried his very own blood into the heavenly holy of holies. He paid the purchase price for our freedom. What price did he pay and purchase for our salvation? 1 Peter 1:18, 19, knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things such as like silver or gold from the aimless conduct received by the tradition of your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ. Everybody say the precious blood of Christ. Without a lamb, without blemish, and without spot. So it was eternal blood. It only had to be paid once and for all. Once for all. But also once and for all. Once. That's why the death, burial, and resurrection, what we're walking into this weekend to celebrate, is the greatest event in history, time past, and the greatest event ever in time eternity. This is the centerpiece of the gospel. Christ died for our sins. Everything you're dealing with, everything you're struggling with, all the shame that's afflicting you, all the sorrow that perhaps is loading up your brain to where you can't sleep and you can't focus and you can't concentrate, all that stuff has been paid for by the blood of Jesus. I mean, if we get a revelation of that, we would shout and say, I'm free. Sin has no hold on me. I'm free. Shame has no grip on my life anymore. I'm free. Sorrow. I don't have to wallow around and grieve and sorrow and mourn because of the wickedness of the world going on around me. Come on now. I'm free. Everybody say, I'm free. That's what redeemed means. It means freedom through the payment of a price. That's a simple definition. Amen. Webster's Dictionary defines it, the word redeem, as to buy back, to purchase, repurchase, to pay back, to recover, to ransom, to pay off like a mortgage or note, to liberate and liberate from captivity, to deliver, to reclaim. 1 Timothy 2:6 says it this way, he gave himself a ransom for all, a ransom payment, to be testified in due time. He gave himself as price, as the price, not a price, the price, of freedom for all men. So we ought to be celebrating it all week. Every day. Not just on Easter Sunday. We ought to be celebrating all the time. See, a complete redemption covers everything. Now today I want to focus on reconciliation because the Lord dealt with me about this. That many people trying to figure out what to do with my estranged relationships, maybe perhaps in my family. Did you know the blood still works on that? Because redemption, complete redemption, covers everything. Y'all know when you have problems at the house, you have big problems. Anybody know what I'm talking about? And everlasting relief means it lasts forever. God has left nothing out. We are redeemed spiritually. Amen. Physically, mentally, emotionally, relationally, and financially. Everybody say, I'm redeemed. All that man needs is supplied in Christ. What do you need today? What do you need online? Jesus paid the price for it. I remember when the enemy was attacking sometimes, I would remind him, as you know, Kenneth Hagin reminded the devil, because the devil never challenges you about last time. He always challenges you about this time. And we said it before, there's no such thing as unchallenged faith. So he comes with a challenge. What is this challenge designed to do? It is designed to get you and I into fear or into frustration and out of faith. He said, this time you're not going to get delivered. You're not going to see a breakthrough. I said, Mr. Devil, I don't have to get it. But let me remind you, Jesus already got it for me. Hallelujah. He's already paid for it. Hallelujah. And all I have to do is believe it to receive it. I take it. It's mine. I have it now. I don't have to get it. Jesus already got it. It's already done. It's already finished. All that you need. Now think about it. Close your eyes for just a minute. What do you need? What is the big top two or three needs you have right now? That has been supplied in Christ. Now, when we think religious, or we got traditional mindsets and thinking wrong, perhaps we think, I got to go get that. I got to try to be that. I got to try to do that. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So the past, present, and future has been taken care of. The spirit, soul, and body have been taken care of. All because of what Jesus has done. That means you're not trying to get it or struggle to get it. Jesus got it for you. It's yours. You have it. Redemption is accomplished fact in Christ. So the redemption was legally purchased through the blood of Jesus Christ. It was a legal transaction in heaven. His death, resurrection established a new universal fact for every man. Jesus purchased your freedom. We're redeemed not by money, silver and gold, but by the precious blood of Christ. Now let's conclude. We're talking about faith in the blood that becomes our peacemaker and arbitrator. Because sometimes we struggle with in that relationship area that's a pain in our heart, our soul. That's a problem in our emotions. Some of us have gotten sick because the relationship is sick. Some of us perhaps may be carrying sorrow because there's been a lot of sorrow in that interaction or lack thereof. Now I'm going to read Colossians 1:20 out of the Weiss translation. It says, and God was well pleased through his agency to reconcile all things to himself. Now anybody can tell me what the definition of all is? All things. Things include family. Things include relationships. All things to himself. Excuse me. Having concluded peace through the blood of his cross. Through him, whether the things on earth or things in heaven. I want you to see that. Colossians 1:20 says things on earth, all things on earth, all things in heaven. All things in heaven between you and God. All things on you, earth, between things with you and other people. Are you listening to me? Hallelujah. Now, this is an excerpt from Andrew Murray's Power in the Blood of Jesus. It says, the blood has been made reconciliation for sin and covered it, covered the payment, and that as a result of such wonderful change has taken place in the heavenly realms, all this will avail us nothing unless we obtain a personal share in it. So Jesus paid it all, but you don't get your benefit unless you personally partake of it. It is in the pardon of sin this takes place. Jesus has offered a perfect acquittal from all of our sin and guilt. You may sin, and you may say it this way, sin in all its forms and manifestations. Excuse me. So God doesn't want you to have relational schisms, whether it's strife or discord in a church family or in a natural family. Are you listening to me? Because reconciliation has been made for sin, we can all be reconciled to him. Christ, God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses into them. Following this word of reconciliation is the invitation. Be reconciled to God. Somebody cut the air on. A little. Excuse me. Now, Micah 7:9 says, thou will cast their sins in the depths of the sea. So what did God do? He cast our sins in the depths of the sea of forgetfulness. See, if God doesn't remember them, then the Holy Spirit has to apply the blood to your conscience. Are you listening to me? He has applied the blood to your conscious mind so that you don't remember them. Because, see, the stain and the sting of sin is in your remembrance of them. You remember the last time you and your child got into a heated argument, probably said some ugly words. Or you got into it with a spouse or perhaps another relative. And it became so heated that it seems like it's irreparable. That means it cannot be repaired, the relationship. You know, God doesn't want you to go to the grave with that stuff being undone. Are you listening to me? Are you listening to me? All right, so he was in Christ. So Micah 7:9, now listen to Jeremiah 1:20. The iniquity of Israel shall be sought for, and there shall be none. And the sins of Judah, and they shall not be found, for I will pardon them. That's the Lord talking about the ugliness of Judah and the ugliness of Jerusalem. And he's saying the same context for us. He said, I won't remember them because I'm pardoning them. When you get a full pardon, that means as though you've never committed any sin. It's though you never committed any crime. Somebody said, glory to God. So that's what the New Testament calls justification, what we just read. So perfect, he says, is the reconciliation, and so really has sin been covered and blotted out that he who believes in Christ is looked upon and treated by God as entirely righteous. And he says, the acquittal which he has received from God is so complete that there is nothing, absolutely nothing, to prevent him from approaching God with the utmost freedom. For the enjoyment of this blessedness, nothing is necessary save faith in the blood. I'll say it again. He said, for the enjoyment of this blessedness, nothing is necessary save faith in the blood. The blood alone has done everything. The blood alone has done everything. The penitent sinner who turns from his sins to God needs only faith in that blood. That is faith in the power of the blood that has truly atoned for sin and that is really has atoned for him. Through that faith, he knows that he is fully reconciled to God, and there is now not the least thing to hinder God pouring out on him the fullness of his love and his blessing. Somebody say, glory to God. Somebody say, hallelujah. See, in the natural sense, now if I could show you some of the scars, you know, when I was little, you know, skateboarding. I still remember it in California, riding down the hills, and then the rock stopped my skateboard. But it didn't stop me. So I flew off the skateboard. right up my elbow. Took a chunk of meat out, but then you're bleeding. I'm running the house screaming. But guess what's there now? Skin. And what happened before that? The blood began to coagulate. Now, just a little bit of science here. So coagulation is one of the most is one of the blood's most essential functions. The word coagulation actually means bringing together or tightening up. Bringing together or tightening up. So when your blood tightens up outside a wound, it forms a scab over your skin. So at the time it was scab. And of course, if you're like me, if you're putting a knife to your chin every day trying to shave, so you cut yourself sometimes. And what the blood, when blood comes out, sometimes you cut yourself and you nick yourself. Blood. You guys, all the guys know what I'm talking about, right? Ladies know what I'm talking about if you do your legs or whatever. And then, of course, so you cut yourself. And what happened? Coagulation. What's the blood doing? It's bringing together and it's tightening up that open wound. If coagulation does not occur, come on now, you'll lose your blood through that wound. So it'll stop bleeding because it's coagulating. It's bringing together. It's tightening up. Come on now. See, were it not for coagulation, you would lose your blood through a bleeding wound. Of course, if you lost too much blood, you would die. Isn't that right? Because the Bible says the life of the flesh is in the blood. Now let's look at Colossians 1:20 in the King James Version again. We read it in the West earlier. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, to by him to reconcile all things to himself, by him I say whether there be things on earth or things in heaven. J.B. Phillips says it this way, translation, is it was that it was in him that the full nature of God chose to live, and through him God planned to reconcile in his own person, as it were, everything on earth and everything in heaven by virtue of the sacrifice of the cross. So through the cross, God fixed every problem that sin had caused. Somebody said, glory to God. Hallelujah. Every problem that sin, sickness, Satan, sorrow, shame has caused or created, the blood has fixed it all. And through him, God reconciled everything to himself and made peace with everything in heaven. New Living Translation. And on earth, that means Christ's blood on the cross. The word reconcile. Now, we talked about coagulation. The word reconcile in this scripture basically means the same thing as coagulate. Now, come on now. Somebody got to help me now. Reconcile means to bring together. We are reconciled or brought together with the Father when Jesus shed his blood to remove our sins, became joint heirs with Christ, and at peace with God. We were not only made one with God in heaven, but we also have peace with people on earth. Now, listen to me. There's a couple of testimonies here. If time permits, I'll share another personal one. Now, Dr. Marilyn Hickey, whose husband's gone on to be the Lord, her husband's name was Wally, and they were pastors of Orchard something church in Denver, Colorado. Orchard Family Church, I think it's called. But anyway, good pastor. She was a teaching evangelist, missionary type of person. And, of course, they were pastoring church, and they had assigned a lady in the church. She had asked, okay, paint this room. She went and painted it. And so they brought the pastors in to go see it. And of course, let me say this before I get to that point, because I need to get to this point. As we said, the word reconcile means to bring together or to tighten up. And so this woman, who had painted the church classroom when Wally Hickey, Pastor Hickey, had saw that he was surprised. He was totally shocked because he thought the color was unsightly. Now, here's where people get offended, you know, because you didn't like what I did. Well, it wasn't the way he wanted it and what she was told to do. She did something different. There's a schism there now. Anybody can relate to what, sometimes you misunderstandings come that way. And so she responded angrily. She said, I've taken all this time and trouble to help, and you don't like the color? She yells at him, the pastor. And he says, I appreciate your help. But whether we like the color or not, I appreciate your help. Despite their apologies, Marilyn Hickey and her husband, Wally, the woman remained furious. So she was so furious, she refused to speak to him. So when Marilyn Hickey tried to call her, as soon as she heard her voice on the telephone, she hung up. How many know people get offended? How many know some people have walked into offense and perhaps maybe be in offense right now with their family member? Are y'all here? Y'all gone home already. And she said, well, the Holy Spirit said, the answer here is in Colossians 1:20. God has reconciled all things in heaven and on earth through the blood of Jesus. Let me put faith in the blood. Because we don't want that sister to go astray or go away. So she prayed this prayer. Lord, let the blood of Jesus reconcile our relationship according to Colossians 1:20. Are you listening to me? A few hours later, she says, my telephone rang, and it was the same woman. She was no longer angry. Everybody say, the blood still works. Amen. You got to put a bloodline around your house. Come on now. You got to sprinkle the blood over your kids. You got to put the blood over your relatives. Come on now. You got to exercise the blood of Jesus, or you're going to maybe perhaps get offended or become offensive. Are you listening to me? She said, the woman said, I've been so upset with you. She began, I'm so sorry. And then she said, I recently discovered that my father was sick. Would you pray for him? And she said, since that time, I've been praying Colossians 1:20 for people in marital problems and even for couples who are divorced or separated. There is nothing, listen to me, there's nothing in you or me that the blood can't clean. There's nothing that has happened in you or your family that the blood can't correct, that the blood can't cure. Come on now, that the blood can't change, that the blood can't clean. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. There's nothing in you that the blood can't cleanse. The blood has done it all. You got to put faith in the blood because the blood reconciles everything, has reconciled everything in heaven, on earth, in your heart, and in your home. Hallelujah. Somebody say glory to God. Old Testament, they used to do plead the blood. Now, Mark Hankins tells this story about his mom. Every time he would come home with a woman that he picked up in his spirit that she wasn't good for you. Now, remember, every relationship is taking you somewhere. It's either taking you closer to or further from the will of God for your life. And people who take you too further from the will of God and the work of God and the way of God for your life is considered evil. That means they're taking you away from your God-ordained and purposes and plans for your life. You got a call in your life. She knew he had a call on his life. Her husband was a pastor. She knew all her kids were supposed to be in the ministry. And here comes some, I was going to say a name, but I'm not going to say it. I'm in church. Praise God. Here comes some woman. And one time she said, the woman came in there. Back then they call them Daisy Dukes. Anybody understand what Daisy Dukes means? Short shorts, showing all her hind parts a little bit. And then so she come in there and she said, in the name of Jesus, I plead the blood. Well, that woman left. Somebody said, glory to God. Come on now, if you see your children or grandchildren going astray, going away with the wrong person, or going the other way with somebody they shouldn't be going with, are you listening to me? You need to say, in the name of Jesus, I plead the blood. Hallelujah. I speak Colossians. I pray the promise of Colossians 1:20 over them right now in Jesus' name. Are you listening to me? Now, when he said his mom saw Trina, his wife, Trina Hankins, she said, thank you, Lord, for the blood. Because when she sent him off to college, she covered him with the blood. And through his senior year, he met Trina. And he brought her home and said, thank you for the blood. Because Colossians 1:20 says what? Reconcile everything in heaven and on earth. Are you listening to me? Now, another example was, drawing a bloodline around your house. Some people don't do it. They leave their house open. Now, your bloodline needs to be intentional today. Why is that? Because not only can physical things get in your house, if you got to keep your doors closed and, keep robbers out, rabbits and, all those things, raccoons and skunks out. But I'm talking about things that come through your social media and internet. You got to put a bloodline on your TVs. Because seeds can cut into. Words can get into a child or get into your house, and then you got atmosphere around it. Why are we fighting all the time? Why are we angry all the time? Why are we mad all the time? Well, a lot of times words have been spoken. Well, a lot of times the enemy may have gotten in, and you don't know. He didn't come through the front door. He came through the screen door. He come through the TV. Somebody said, glory to God. Somebody said, hallelujah. So you got to keep a bloodline around your house. See, this blood of Jesus Christ is effective and excellent in reconciling broken and wounded relationships. Broken and wounded marriages and family and marriages that have been and will be reconciled, brought together by the blood, the shedding of blood on the cross. I'll share a little bit here. When I was in college, I was with somebody I shouldn't have been with before I met my wife. She was not the one for me. But how many know you can get into a soul tie? Now, I didn't have sexual intercourse with this woman. God is my witness. But you can get soullessly tied to somebody because of familiarity and because of friendships. When you fellowship with a person, you can open up your heart to them. Are you listening to me? And then what happens? Your heart, your soul can get tied to that person. You don't even have to have physical intimacy with them. Are you listening to me? And the wrong person. See, bad, evil. But my flesh was not feeling it. And, long story short, because of time, the Holy Spirit dealt with me for 2, maybe 3 weeks. You got to cut it off. Got to cut it off. I didn't want to cut it off. I didn't even bought her a half carat diamond pendant, promissory ring, not a ring, but a pendant necklace. I was like, man, I got all this invested in this woman. And the Lord said, my heart was grieving because it was a wounded relationship. Because she was going away from God. And I was going close to God. How many of you know that's not the same direction? Somebody said, glory to God. And so when I broke it off, I got so hurt that I did not want to date or do anything with any other one. Didn't want to deal with any other one. But everybody said the blood still works. In my senior year, now, Pastor Cindy and I have been classmates. We we knew each other in ROTC, and we had in the senior year, actually happened to have four classes together. But how many know the Lord had to heal my heart before I could see my wife? He told me as we were going into our senior year, he said, you need a wife. He said, because number one, what you I've called and created you to do and be and do, you can't do alone. And he said, number two, you don't have the gift. And I know exactly what he was talking about, the gift of celibacy. Now, if you need interpretation of that, you can call or hit us up on email, and we'll explain celibacy after this. Praise God. But do I need to explain celibacy? So anyway, he healed my heart. It was the Holy Spirit applying the blood to my soul. And then I looked up and I saw her in a different light, and then I had dreams, and then we became friends, and we courted, and we married. 34 years now. Somebody say glory to God. She's still my queen. She's still my first lady. Praise God. And the only woman in my heart and life. Praise God. Somebody say glory to God. But you cannot recover a lot of times from those relationships unless there's a healing from an ungodly soul tie. That's why you always, the scriptures, every time it encourages people, don't have sexual intercourse. Don't get physical in a relationship. It's not good to touch a woman. Why? Because you end up connecting to what you feel and not what you know. I feel like I'm on assignment this morning. But anyway, praise God. Hallelujah. Let's keep going. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Everybody say, thank you, Lord. See, old wounds that have been healed and left behind, and today can be healed and put behind. See, friends, saints of God, we can release our faith in the blood, what the blood has done in heaven, and the Holy Spirit through the eternal blood of Christ can do it, can be done in our hearts, in our homes, in our marriages, in our broken and wounded relationships, and in our families. Hebrews 9, verse 11 says, but Christ have been become an high priest of good things to come. Everybody said there's good things to come. There's good things to come in your family. There's good things to come in your future. By greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made by hands, not to save this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered into once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Listen to this, verse 13. For if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean, sanctified to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. Hallelujah. There's a pastor lady I know, her husband's passed on and went to heaven. They were married for almost 40 years before he went to heaven. And they married a little later in his life. She's still here. She's still going and pastoring. But she talks about the time when she was in an abusive relationship. Everybody say abusive relationship. So she was in an abusive relationship. Now, God had called her to be a pastor and, you know, at first to be a wife and a helpmeet to a pastor and a prophet of God who was a powerful man of God. He went to heaven. But she said, I was hooked up with this guy who was playing church but not really was in church. In Christ. See, people can be in church but not be in Christ. And so she met this guy at church, and he abused her. Now you say, well, was it physical abuse? No, not as much. But she said he did grab her sometimes hard or shake her sometimes. He didn't hit her per se. And she said that it was abusive verbally because he would lose his temper to a degree. Well, he would say some of the meanest, foulest, dishonoring, God-dishonoring things. And sometimes he would squeeze her hand or wrist real hard because he was so angry. He was almost like temporarily insane. This is a man that's sitting in the church pew. She thought he was a child of God. They thought he was a man of God. She said this went on for a year and a half. See, you can be in a relationship that's abusive or it's misused, meaning there's a lot of selfishness and sin going on. You shouldn't have sin just running rampant and running free in your house, because it's going to cause you problems eventually. Are you listening to me? So anyway, this woman, she said she had to break it off. They were engaged to be married. They had to break it off. Broke it off. But her heart was broken. Her emotions were wounded. Her mental faculties were fractured. And she said the Holy Spirit lit this verse up. She was in a Holy Spirit meeting. Everybody said, thank God for the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit. And she said in verse 14, how much more the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit, the blood of Christ, what the Holy Spirit, what the blood has done in heaven, he will apply to our heart. He will do and do in our hearts. What the blood has done in heaven, the Holy Spirit will apply and do in our homes. And so the blood was applied to her heart. So by the second week, she became whole. She was no longer downtrodden in shame, because sin and shame are synonymous. She was ashamed that she put up with that abusive, verbally abusive, sometimes physically intense relationship. And she got free, and the Holy Spirit said, look up. He said, that's your husband. She wouldn't have ever saw her husband until her heart was healed. See, as we look at the cross today and reflect on the sacrifice of Jesus our Lord, we should remember and receive the eternal and excellent sacrifice of his body and blood. This blood purges our conscience, which simply means this, to cleanse or purify by separating and carrying away off whatever is impure. Is there impurity in your heart or your home or in your relationships? Anything foreign or superfluous? Purge means to clear from guilt or moral defilement. I mean, immorality defiles a family. It can defile a church family. To clear from guilt or moral defilement. See, the blood of Jesus is powerful enough to coagulate even the most impossible relationships. Pastor Cynthia and I remember we were sitting in camp meetings sometimes in Tulsa, Oklahoma. And Dad Hagin would speak out and say, the divorce will not go through. Why? The blood of Jesus has the power to reverse anything the curse has brought. Every single one of us should appropriate and access the blood to reconcile every relationship to a place of right standing with God and right standing with each other. Listen to this. Last scripture, I'm closing. Y'all get something out of this today? 2 Corinthians 5:18-21, New Living Translation. And all of this is a gift from God, who brought us back from himself through Christ. And God was giving us this task of what? Reconciling people to him. See, many times, a lot of times when we say, when we are to be fishers of men, you know, the Acts 1:8 model tells us that our first fishing experience is in our family. Your first mission field is your family. Amen. He gave us the task of reconciling people to him. For God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting people's sins against him. And he gave us the wonderful message of reconciliation. So we are Christ's ambassadors. God is making his appeal through us. We speak for Christ when we plead, come back to God. For God made Christ, who never sinned, to be an offering for our sins so that we could be made right with God through Christ. Now, would you stand with me, please? We're going to sing a song. Guys, did you get the YouTube ready? We'll get the YouTube ready. Praise God. Father God, in Jesus' name.